Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. A few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthir then began to observe some inauspicious omens, which were fearful in themselves. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ad infinitum, more powerful than the most powerful sun of our experience. Millions and billions of suns are created by Him and annihilated by Him within His one breathing period. In the material world, the sun is considered to be the source of all productivity and material energy. And only due to the sun can we have the necessities of life. Therefore, during the personal presence of the Lord on the earth, all paraphernalia for our peace and prosperity, especially religion and knowledge, were in full display because of the Lord's presence, just as there is a full flood of light in the presence of the glowing sun. Maharaj Yudhishthir observed some discrepancies in his kingdom, and therefore he became very anxious about Arjuna, who was long absent, and there was also no news about Varaka's well-being. He suspected the disappearance of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there would have been no possibility of fearful omens. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I would like to seek the permission and blessings from all the Vaishnavas, seniors, peers and juniors. And humbly would like to request the blessings of all of those which are observing online. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Gornitai ki. So Hare Krishna, thank you everyone for coming today to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we kind of opened a new chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We finished chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, and now the disappearance of Lord Krishna. In the yesterday's verse, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu mentioned that Arjuna went on his travels to Dwaraka to kind of find out what's the next plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because the Pandavas, they've been always very much connected with the mood, mission, and desires of Krishna, they always wanted to know what Krishna wants from them. So in this verse today, we can actually see how Maharaj Yudhishthir started to become, he was worrying very much. And the source of his misery or his worries was that, number one, Arjuna was not returning. In the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's indicating that here is mentioned after a few months, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is actually explaining that the exact period was 7 months. So for a period of 7 months, Arjuna was missing from the palace of Hastinapur, and there was no information about what he's doing. So then Maharaj Yudhishthir started to observe a variety of inauspicious omens. So today's class, we're going to discuss two parts of Prabhupada's purport. Firstly, how Prabhupada is actually connecting Krishna as a person to objects that we can perceive with our material senses. Can anyone tell me from which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita it's very much Krishna is explaining himself in connection with variety of materially perceived objects, so we can... Very nice, yes. Thank you. 10th chapter, in a very nice way, in the 17th verse, Arjuna is inquiring, Krishna, how can I perceive you? How can I connect with you? So this question of connection, Krishna started explaining, I am, for instance, amongst sharks, that's me, I am the ability in man. Amongst the Rudras, I am Shiva. Amongst Adityas, I am Vishnu. In this connection, the Acharyas are commenting that Vishnu, he means Vamanadev. He appeared in one of the, I think, 12 Adityas. So ultimately, we can see that how Krishna is giving us opportunities to perceive him. And here Prabhupada is mentioning that he is radiant as millions and billions of suns. So all of this number of suns are created just by exhaling and inhaling. So because we don't have specifically and always the eyes to perceive the supremacy of Krishna, how effulgent he is. So what we do, we try to connect something which we know, something which we understand to Krishna. Right? It is explained that different parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they represent the different parts on the body of Krishna. We can see that different planetary constellations, they're also connected to Krishna. We can see that different demigods, they represent Krishna. We can see how taste of water is Krishna. And I bet yesterday's, for those who've been doing Nirjala, you've been for a certain period of time meditating about water. I was thirsty like anything. But even in this position, we can see that there's the taste of water, it's Krishna. The energy which is supplied to the sun, that's Krishna. The smell of soil, earth, that's Krishna. So this is actually yoga. Yoga means connection. Yoga means connecting everything to the ultimate source. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravatate iti matva bhajantamam buddha bhava samamvita. Everything emanates from me, the material and the spiritual. Therefore, we can see that everything is connected one way or another with Krishna, directly or indirectly. In other passages of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that everyone follows my path, directly or indirectly. Materialist or spiritualist, everyone has to follow. Why? Because I created the scope in which you can kind of manifest your pastimes, whatever they are, if they're spiritual or material. So in this point, we can emphasize that yoga means whatever I do, I can always connect it one way or another to Krishna. And the beauty of the path of Krishna consciousness is that Prabhupada, he molded our life in such a way that everything is connected to Krishna. Right? The moment you wake up, what do? Please, dear spiritual master, accept my day. Whatever I can do, I offer to you. What do? You make your bed. You mop. You take shower. You come here to the temple room. You chant your rounds. You offer arati. You sing to the Lord. You sing to the spiritual master. Then you chant. Then you circumambulate Tulsi. Then you pay obeisances to Vaishnavas. All these things are actually meant for yoga, to connect one way or another to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was very much stressing that actually, not even billions and millions of suns can actually come even close to the portion of splendor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that could be our meditation. Don't look into the sun, because your eyes may get hurt. But when you see the sun, you can understand that the energy which sun is kind of the effulgence of the sun is ultimately coming from Krishna. So that's one kind of a meditation that we can take from this, from the purport. And also another thing is, when Krishna or when spiritual life is present in our life, there's no place for inauspiciousness. The analogy is given that jnana dipena, the knowledge, the light of knowledge. So Krishna is the same thing. Once on the kind of online forum, I receive a feedback that the title of the class which we've been kind of presenting was radiance of Krishna consciousness or illumination of Krishna consciousness. And one devotee mentioned a point that we are not here for this. We are not here to be illuminated. But then one feedback which I was meditating upon was that the moment Krishna is present, that brings illumination. That illumination means that there's no place for tamas. So devotees on the highest stages of devotional practice are Uttama Adhikaris. Uttama means those which are crossed the beyond the material nature, uttama, beyond the darkness of material nature. That means they not anymore associating with the qualities of material nature. Another point of this class, which I think is quite relevant in the whole chapter which is coming from now, is nimittas. Maybe you heard about this term. Nimitta, as we know in Sanskrit, different connotations means different things. In this connotation, Prabhupada described nimitta as various causes. We're going to be describing today how nimittas, we can perceive them, and how actually very, very important they are in our life. So we can understand the mysteries of this material world are just all around us. There are certain laws, there are certain causes and certain effects. We call it karma. But there's certain system. I don't know if anyone's seen film Matrix. I know, it's not super spiritual film. Actually, the person who directed it read the portion of the Vedas and Bhagavad Gita. So it is saying that there's certain system and there are certain also like, how do you say, glitch in the matrix. Means that you perceive something and you understand that there will be some consequences of that event. So this is exactly what nimitta means. For the whole chapter of this, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this 14th chapter, Yudhishthir will be one by one perceiving different nimittas, different omens. And by understanding these nimittas, we can actually predict future. And this is very interesting. It's not something you're born with. It's something you learn. So we see that Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was born in a very great dynasty. Obviously, he was a very pious king. He was surrounded by great Vaishnavas. He had the audience of many great personalities. But nevertheless, he was studying the science. We can see even the life of Krishna Balaram, who was their spiritual master. Sandipani Muni. Where have they been studying? Ujjain, yes. What's the name of that ashram? Avanti Ashram. So in this ashram of Sandipani Muni, Krishna and Balaram are studying 64 sciences. These 64 sciences are not always spiritual. Can anyone tell me, name me any one of those sciences? There are 64 of them. We can share them a bit. They are very interesting. And ladies, they are practicing them every day. Yes. Krishna was doing that in the pastime with Kaliya. When Kaliya he jumped into the lake of Kaliyagad and he was playing on the water in such a way that he created wonderful music. Yes, Ms. Kinchina? Speaking with animals, very true. Any other ones? Flower arrangements. Decorations, creating garlands. Even creating flower decorations on one's bed. Or you can offer that bed to Krishna. So one of the 64 sciences is, I can mention a few of them. How can art of dressing is there, art of creating essential oils, art of playing a variety of musical instruments, art of poetry. Art of quick reading. For instance, you literally just flick through Bhagavatam like this and say, oh, I understood. So there's also art in there as well. I don't know if it's exactly like this. I'm not very conversant in this art. I'm not very good at this art. It takes me a while to understand something. There's also art of controlling minds of others. Right? Psychologically speaking, you can do that. So Sandipani Muni was actually disclosing this art to Krishna and Balaram, how to control the minds of others. But in no such a tricky way, it's actually an art, you can learn it. So you can discuss with people in such a way that your conclusion will become their conclusion. It's interesting. You can learn that. There's very great art which we all try to practice, is the art of being disciplined. That's also one of the 64 arts. Art of dexterity, which means that what you can do with your right hand, we understand the left is not always clean, but you can use both hands simultaneously. There is one art, which is, as Niskin Chana mentioned, learning how to talk with animals, including the birds. So all these arts are very much materialistic. And one of those 64 arts is art of nimitta gyan. Nimitta means, as I mentioned here, omens, and gyan means knowledge. So this nimitta gyan originates from the Chatushaktikala, which is the 64 arts and sciences. And we know that one of the names or one of the characteristics of Krishna is Akila Kala Adiguru. Akila Kala Adiguru means that all these arts, whatever ability you have, whatever you learned in your life, is ultimately emanating from Krishna. And he's the Adiguru. So whatever activity you can perform, whatever thing you're able to master, you should understand that it comes from Krishna. Therefore, again, another point of connection. Sometimes in our devotional life, may or may not happen that you become master in some activity. You become first-class pujari. You become first-class book distributor. You become first-class cook. You become first-class cleaner. Whatever it is. Many, many arts you can master, but the safe zone of devotee is that yoga means whatever ability I have ultimately belongs to Krishna. So the acharyas are commenting, how can we be proud? There is no space to be proud, because the bhakta understands that nothing actually comes from me. It is not my mastery. It is ability which was given to me by Krishna. So today we're going to speak about the subtle signs of nimittas, and I will give you some practical application which are, I think, very useful, and you can see them. Srila Prabhupada, we may say that, oh, this is a material art. Many acharyas, they're transcendental, they're spiritual. They're on a platform which they don't really care about, you know, the trigunas. But that's wrong conclusion. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, all of them been following the nimitta gyan science. How? By understanding consequences of events in your life, you can predict what will happen. Fun fact, Prabhupada was never traveling on Thursdays between 4:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. or even later. There's this muhurta. In certain days, it's one muhurta, two muhurtas, three muhurtas, which are very inauspicious. What does this mean? Prabhupada was a pure sadhak, was on a platform of pure devotional service. And the mood was mood of giving everything. The mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to distribute the mercy. How come then he was limiting himself to some science or material science? The thing is, as the six Goswamis introduced one aspect of utilizing everything, and that means even utilizing the 64 arts, the material arts. So when you learn to perform, to kind of create wonderful garlands, that's a material art. But you can take that garland and put it on some politic, right? That's what they do in India. Oh, you're a great Mahatma, here you go, garland. What we do with garlands? We offer it to Krishna, we offer it to acharyas, and then we distribute it. So the same material science which could be used materially can be used and utilized on a spiritual level. And in this way, you're purifying it. In the Bhagavad Gita, he said, Purusha prakriti stoi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karananguna sangosya sat asat yoni janmasu. So this means karanam guna sanga. Karana means sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So karana means the cause of your sangha, your guna sangha will come to a conclusion of sat asat, which means that how you associate with the modes of material nature will determine what will be the result, either your happiness or distress. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is instructing Uddhava. He's speaking to Uddhava on a different, he's disclosing different sciences and different knowledge. And in 11.21.3, Krishna says, in order to understand what is proper in life, one must evaluate a given object within a particular category. Thus, is analyzing religious principle, one must consider purity and impurity. One must recognize that which is auspicious and inauspicious. So for a devotee, we need to have the chakshush, the vision. What is auspicious, what is inauspicious. The simplicity of instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was, accept what is auspicious for your devotional life and reject what is inauspicious for your devotional life. But how can you recognize this? How can you understand what is auspicious and inauspicious? This can only come through jnana, through knowledge. If you have good and proper knowledge, then you understand the discrimination. In the modern day and age, there's a lot of fights about discrimination. Let's be honest. Discrimination of people is based not on spiritual knowledge, but based on superficial knowledge. People think that based on your color, based on your creed, based on where you're from, based on your how do you associate with people, you are something. And this is great, great nonsense. The whole material world is actually suffering due to wrong understanding of reality. Bhagavatam is the reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So what does it mean? It means discrimination. And if you want to have, if you want to discriminate in the right way, you have to associate with the literature, with the devotees, which their discrimination is based on right chakshush, on right vision. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, one must recognize that which is auspicious and inauspicious. And what is that? Right? We're putting tilak every day on our body. From a material point of perspective, you're putting mud and clay on certain parts of your body. I mean, why do you do that? You're speaking some words and then you're applying some mud on your body. Is that useful? The Vaishnavas understand that this is auspicious. The men, the gentlemen, we're shaving our heads. Why is that? It's also considered clean. Therefore, the understanding should be that by following the Vedic scriptures and the conclusions of the Vedic scriptures, we can actually become intelligent. But our intelligence is not based on mundane perspective, but on a spiritual perspective. Therefore, studying these nimittas, one can understand situation according to the science and make appropriate steps. Let me tell you one pastime. How nimitta is actually predominant in the different, in the Ramayana, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. In Ramayana, when Hanuman approached Lanka, he jumped on a tree and he saw Mother Sita and different queens of Ravan. The question is, how did he understand which one is Mother Sita? Does anyone know? All of them been very beautiful. All of those queens of Ravana been very beautiful. How did he recognize this is Mother Sita and this is not Mother Sita? Yes? Was dejected? Yes, that's one of the observations. Yes? She was constantly chanting the names of Lord Ramachandra. Yes? Chastity, yes. Very good. All of these are very relevant points. One point, which is mentioned from the perspective of Nimitta Gyan, is Mother Sita, she had some specific lakshanas on her body. Lakshana means indication, right? Forehead, hands, feet, torso. Lord Chaitanya, he had big, massive chest, long arms, big forehead. He was very tall. So all of these lakshanas, they're actually indicating that you have some auspicious or inauspicious future ahead of you. So Hanuman, he was expert in this nimitta gyan, and he saw the palms of Sita Devi. And he understood that, look at this. This means that she's Lakshmi Devi. Look at this. That means that she will be very, very instrumental in the kind of a shaping the planet. Look at this sign. It means that she will be never separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or look at this sign. She'll be never in the position where there will be difficulties with the husband. So all of these lakshanas, they're scientifically profound teachings. And we can see that when you go for, I don't know, foretelling, they ask you to show the poems. Because inside of them, you have your future and your past. So what does this mean again? Karanam guna sangosya sat asad yoni janmasu. Your body is literally a manifestation of your previous actions and your previous consciousness. So whatever body you have now is the result of your association in your previous life, your previous meditations, your previous association with different modes. Therefore, what does it mean for us? According to these nimittas, according to these lakshanas, according to these indications, we should know that there is something ahead of us. But in the movement of Lord Chaitanya, just simply by clapping to the beat of the Harinam Sankirtan, all your lakshanas on all your nimittas are diminishing and they're changing. So by your association now with the spiritual modes or with this, with becoming nirguna, what you're actually creating, you're creating your spiritual body. Either you're creating your next material body or you're creating your next spiritual body. So these nimittas are very important. So there are different varieties of these indications or these omens. There are three goals of nimittas. And we can see how Vaishnava should actually understand these nimittas. Why? Because they're very, very practical. Sadhana bhakti. Help us to see material nature and help us to understand that Krishna is the supreme master of prakriti. Right? Prakriti means material manifestation. There are certain systems and laws. And if you observe the system and these laws, Prabhupada said in the Los Angeles temple, I was happy there, I was developing community, America was so nice, I was rejected in India. But he got fried out in America. And he said to Tama Krishna Maharaj, take me to India now. So we can see that that moment of being disturbed or that moment of being unsatisfied with the happening of the Vaishnavas, he flew to India. And at that point what happened, he said himself, Prabhupada said, I didn't saw it, Krishna. I didn't want to go back to India. But what happened, you gave me this wonderful temple. So that means there was an indication, and that indication resulted to something, like a beautiful, massive temple. What was it? Was it in Ujjain? No? Was it the Juhu Beach? Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. So said Prabhupada said himself, I didn't saw it. I was not ready. But what you done, you gave me this temple. So based on certain omens, there was a certain result. So that's sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, we can see how the signs of omens can actually help us. Then, nimitta matram. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita. Dasmatvam utishta yasolabhasva. Chitva shatrun bungsya rajam samridam. Maya vaite nikata parvam eva. Nimitta matrani bhava savya sachin. So this nimitta matrani means become an instrument. Arjuna was in such a space of mind when he just said, I don't want to fight. And you know what were the nimittas in the Bhagavad Gita? The omens in the Bhagavad Gita? Does anyone know? The omens which were actually on the form of bodily kind of a... There was certain bodily situation which was happening to Arjuna and this was indicating great slaughter, yes? His lips, his limbs, yes. He was sweaty. The Gandiva bow was slipping from his hands. So all of these are indications that something big will happen. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Shri Gonitai ki. For instance, even you can perceive it that when the pujari rings a bell, that's in itself indication that the curtains will open. Right? Or it may indicate that Krishna is taking... honoring bhoga. So there is a cause and there is an effect. So nimitta gyan is the knowledge of this, understanding variety of things that what will happen and what will happen next. So this nimitta matram is becoming an instrument in the hands of Krishna. So let's say you see some omens, right? I bet that in every single culture all around the globe, you have certain omens, right? In my country, for instance, black cat. Do you have it? when the black cat kind of crosses your road. Very inauspicious. When later on we will see through the Bhagavatam that these jackals, they've been howling. These ravens, they've been also, you know, making different sounds. They're meteors. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was studying this Nimitta Gyan, and he understands there'll be great things happening in the future. Most likely, Krishna is leaving. Krishna is withdrawing himself. Because all these inauspicious Nimittas, they wouldn't happen if Krishna would be still present on the planet. How can be inauspiciousness in the presence of Krishna? And the third goal of Nimitta is Paraloka Sadhana Karma. Does anyone know what Paraloka Sadhana Karma means? In the end of our lifespan, there are certain indications when and how we're going to die. So Paraloka Sadhana Karma means reading those inauspicious signs which are showing you that you will leave the body. Right? Your body is also, a vimana. It's a machine. It's a certain system. It's a yantra. And this system has certain laws within. So let me read something to you. And these are those inauspicious signs that you're going to be leaving the body. And we're going to do one experiment, which you can do right here, right now. So signs of death. The rays of the sun suddenly disappear from the vision. So let's say you observe the sun. It's not like it's cloudy, I can't see the rays, that means I will die. No. It means your vision, because which is the presiding deity of vision? Surya. That's the point, yes. So your vision is connected to the demigod of light, to demigod of sun, Surya. So the moment your vision starts diminishing, or kind of you can't see the rays anymore, Surya is giving you kind of a hint, your body, you will leave it very soon. Number two, sky appears to be tinged dark red. So when you're observing the sky and somehow your spectrum starts indicating, oh, dark red, indication that you will leave the body. If one's shadow appears to be split, then one should understand that he may not live long. So if you observe your shadow and your shadow starts splitting, but again, there are two types of, like for instance, let's say there are two lamps, they will also split your shadow, so don't be afraid of that. But when one shadow starts splitting, that's in itself, it's a nimitta, it's an indication. And now we're going to do one experiment. Don't be afraid. Put your your fingers and put them in your ears, but not now, not yet. If you hear like a burning fire within your ears, that's good. It means you will be alive and you are alive. So let's try it. Put your fingers inside of your ears and just meditate and just listen for a second. There's like cracking of fire, or basically your pulse is creating some sound. So if you put your fingers inside of your ears and you don't hear that fire sound, it's an indication that things will go very bad for you very soon. So these are the practicalities of nimittas. Paraloka Sadhana Karma indicates that you should prepare yourself. You will leave the body very soon, prepare for yourself. What's the pastime? What's the personality? He was a great king. He was fighting for the demigods. And they said to him that you have only one muhurta to be alive. Katwanga. Maharaj Katwanga. So this is the importance of these nimittas. The moment you know you're going to leave the body, what you do, boom, let everything go. Don't think about it. Just go into your meditation. Chant your extra rounds or do whatever you have to do. Right? Do that service. Do what you have to do. So nimittas are very, very important for a Vaishnava. And if you can learn them, let me tell you another nimitta, very practical. Sneezing, right? People may be sick. Yes, you have to sneeze. There's a lot of, now is a period of people have allergies. So don't worry, that's not a nimitta. When you're sick and you sneeze, it's okay. When you're healthy and all of a sudden you sneeze and you're preparing to departure on a journey, very inauspicious. So Prabhupada was once in a situation when he was leaving for a journey, and suddenly one devotee just sneezed. Prabhupada stopped. He said, What do you do? Are you sick? He said, yes, Prabhupada, I'm sick. Okay, let's go. If you're not sick and you sneeze, when someone sneezes, that's an indication is very inauspicious. If you have this knowledge, you should even stop. The Shastras are saying not even further step you should make. But then I will leave that question to you. You have to go on a preaching mission. Would you go and risk some inauspicious activities? Seriously, Niskinchana. No one moves now. No, Niskinchana, he's got the allergy, so it's okay. So all these, I would like to read something to you. And also, nimittas are very much connected to the Varnashram system. Nimitta means indication who is who, right? In Varnashram system, different personalities, they project themselves in a different way. So what is, let's say, an omen or a sign of a person who's a Brahmana? How can you perceive just by looking at someone that he's a Brahmana? Just give me a few. He's calm, yes? They kind of are much more peaceful, yes? Any other points? Very clean. Effulgent, let's say he's practicing in a certain way, yes? Thank you. Any other ones? Very knowledgeable. So all of these are indications that person actually is associating with certain modes of material nature. So you look at someone and say, oh, I can see in you, in your lakshanas, in your bodily feature, in your through your association, I can see you're a Brahmana. So if you want to establish Varnashram system, you should understand the knowledge, how one is presenting himself. So what is the lakshana of a kshatriya, for instance? How can you perceive a kshatriya? He's bold, he's courageous, strong. Natural tendency to lead. If there are five people and there's a project, the kshatriya will step and say, okay, boom, 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 you do this, you do that, you do it this way. You don't have the qualification, you step out, you do it differently. This is a kshatriya. So this is, again, a nimitta. You can perceive how one acts and see that he's a brahmana, he's a kshatriya. What is the nimitta or lakshana of a vaishya? Money, right? He's got the natural taste and natural understanding of how to invest, what he gets, and how much he needs to invest, when to withdraw his investment. He needs to have 5 cows, but 2 years from now, I want to have 75 cows. So this is mood of a Vaishya. And a nimitta or a lakshana of a Shudra is being dependent on others. So these are for some kind of indications and of nimittas. It's a very kind of interesting science. One can, for instance, see if he has deep belly, that means he's very knowledgeable. If someone has a big forehead, that means associating very nicely with also he's very knowledgeable. He wants to understand science. Big limbs, very auspicious. Meaty knees, if you have a lot of meat, like flesh on your knees, that's also very auspicious. Long fingers, that's auspicious. Different kind of birthmarks on your body, auspicious or inauspicious. So this is actually science. And if you can learn how to apply this, you can utilize it very nicely for service of Krishna. So, yeah, I think I will end up here. And if there are any reflections, any points, any questions, any further commentaries, analogies, can we have the mic, please?
Thank you very much for the class, Prabhu. Yeah, a lot of interesting points being raised there. One can think of many examples of nimitta from the our pastimes. But you know, you mentioned, obviously, Prabhupada did obviously adhere to certain nimitta signs. At the same time, Prabhupada, it's an interesting one, because sometimes it looks like these acharyas, they would, you know, pay, you know, they'll be obedient to the nimitta signs, but then other times they'll be like, don't worry, you know, the holy name is above, beyond all these considerations. Like Prabhupada, I mean, for example, he went into the ocean, right? The sages back in the day wouldn't want the, you know, acharyas to go beyond, sail beyond the land. Prabhupada told some of his disciples to go to one of the far eastern countries where only meat was being taken, etc., etc. So you can see that in certain cases, you know, they would override these nimitta things. So how does one reconcile that?
Very nice question. I don't think it's my my position to give some commentary or conclusion on how and when and with what consciousness the acharyas are overwriting certain Vedic sciences. If any devotees have their reflection, they can share it. But yeah, even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, for instance, he was just fighting against the structure of the caste Brahmanism, or they've been literally overstepping. As who was speaking about this, there are two types of initiation. That you have the Vedic initiation, and then you have the Pancharatika Vidhi. Was it like that? So I think that was a very nice point. So the acharyas, they have certain vision, and accordingly they apply it. But how, when, and what is their motive to do it? The motive is ultimately to preach the signs of Krishna consciousness. But why did they do it, and to what degree they can do it, that's beyond my scope. Parajana Prabhu, you had a point?
Prabhupada was talking about preaching, actually, as you were then. And he was saying about the purity. And a person asked him about, well, we aren't pure, you know. What can we do? He says, you just repeat or what you know. And he says that actually you can't just stop because you're not pure. You don't let any circumstance. He says, so we are only preaching, actually. So you repeat what you know. Krishna will do everything. It's all down to your circumstance. So don't think that you shouldn't compare yourself in any circumstance or thing. You must at all times consider that everything is there. Whatever happens, the circumstance, you just, as he says, just preach. He says that's all, and everything else will come, you know, and you also get realization.
So what you're saying is that ultimately, as the per question of
is to give what we know, isn't it? That's what he was saying, regardless of our purity, sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other points or comments? No? Okay. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.